Message and song, we begin morning devotions. There is a place of quiet rest. Where is it? It's near to the heart of God. Jeremiah said in his book of Lamentations, "It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And dear friend, it is so good to draw near to the heart of God. Oh, this world around us promises a whole lot. But it leaves us high and dry. It leaves us empty. Again, the prophet Jeremiah said in his book that's called after his name, the book of Jeremiah, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." That's what we do so much. We forsake the fountain of living water, the one who can fully satisfy, fill our hearts and souls to overflowing with that that really matters. You know, things like peace and joy and victory and hope. Those things that are so meaningful that you can't buy with money. And the world doesn't have it. Oh, this world may say that they have peace, but Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, so give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, the peace that I give to you is not the way the world gives it. Well, we know that the world around us, they may offer a lot of happiness, and they may offer a lot of peace, but their peace is transitory. It works only when the sun is shining and the sky is blue and everything's going just the way you want it. But when the stormy weather comes, the peace of this world is totally withdrawn, and so is its happiness and joy. But not so with the Lord. It doesn't matter about the weather. It doesn't matter about what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're having a good day or a bad day. The peace of Christ remains, and the joy of the Lord is constant. It's always there. That doesn't mean you feel hilariously happy all the time, happy-go-lucky, and nothing ever bothers you. No, of course not, because we're human and we have all of our emotions to deal with. But it does mean that down deep inside, in those inner resources of the hidden man of the heart, there is always that sense of joy, knowing that our sins are forgiven, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have the home promised to us in heaven, to those who love the Lord, and because of that, there is that deep, settled joy, and that sense of peace that passes all understanding, that no circumstance in life can rob us of. God gave it to us. And the Lord says, I give it to you, not as the world gives. This is how I give my peace. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I don't want to be hewing out to myself cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I want to come with all my heart today to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he said, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And I want to find in him that fountain of living water that fully and abundantly and completely satisfies. Oh, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's put our trust in him today. Turn from everything else unto the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And trust him today with all our hearts, no matter what's going on in your life.
Take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the faithful Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. Him, how I proved him, Lord.
And you know what the Bible says, don't you? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you probably know it by heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And how do we learn to trust God? I believe with all my heart that one of the ways that we learn to trust him is as we read his word, we read the Bible, we become acquainted with him. We begin to meditate upon who he is and what he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised to do. And as we meditate upon his greatness and goodness, and we catch some glimpse of the preciousness of Jesus, who wouldn't trust him? Just like these words that were penned about 1,000 years ago. No one really knows who wrote them. It is attributed often to Bernard of Clairvaux, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, but no one really knows. It was translated by Edward Caswell, who himself was born in 1814. But if St. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote these words, it was written in the 11th century, back in the year 1000 and something. And it's amazing to me how that even the words that were written 1,000 years ago can be exactly how we feel today, because we're in love with the same Savior, the same Christ, the same God. We read the same book, the Holy Bible. Anyway, he wrote, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than Jesus' name, thou Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who ask how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find? Ah, this. Nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus what it is. None but his loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. In thee be all our glory now and through eternity. What these words were written back in a period that they called the Dark Ages. I'm just convinced that in all ages, in all periods of time, God has always had his remnant. He has always had those who loved him. You know, back in the days that Russia was communist through and through, God had his people who called upon his name. In Red China, with all the communists surrounding the whole country, God has his people who call upon his name. And just like this person, back in the dark ages, to be able to speak of Jesus in such grand and glorious language as he describes the preciousness of this Christ and Savior. Well, when you catch a glimpse of who Jesus really is, you can't help but trust him. Not the Jesus that has lived out among us so often around us. Some lackadaisical faith. But the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jesus that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you and me. The Christ who wants to become alive within our hearts. And we catch a glimpse of who he really is. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. All that we need. We couldn't help but trust him and love him and serve him and walk with him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one thrills my heart and soul like he does. Is that your sentiment? Is that how you feel?
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him.
Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Do you notice the question that he asked them? He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's an expression you don't hear much anymore nowadays. They sure used it in the Bible. Saved. Saved. What must I do to be saved? Well, let me ask you the question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved from an eternal hell? Are you saved from your sins? Are you saved from the condemnation and the guilt of your sins? Are you saved from the tyranny of Satan? Has God set you free? Are you saved? Have you been rescued? Has love lifted you out of the pitiless waves wherein you were sinking? Are you saved? Well, what happens when a person gets saved? And I believe that this takes place in an instant of time as soon as you open your heart to the Lord Jesus. As soon as you repent of your sins and you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. As soon as you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That moment, Jesus comes into the heart. He comes into the heart. And in that moment, I can give you a lot of things that happen instantaneously, just like that, as soon as you believe in Jesus. And of course, if you truly believe, it's going to make a difference in your life. But these are things that happen as soon as you believe, as soon as you were saved. Number one, there is rejoicing among the angels in heaven. Luke chapter 15, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Secondly, your name is recorded in heaven. Luke 10 verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, said Jesus, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thirdly, you become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Number four, you come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number five, a new principle of life now controls you. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Number six, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8, 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Seven, you are born again. 1 Peter 1, 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Number eight, you become a new member of the family of God. All these things I'm mentioning to you happen as soon as you turn from your sins to a living Savior, as soon as you open your heart to Jesus Christ. In that moment, all these things happen. You become a new member of the family of God. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Number nine, you are now justified, that is, declared righteous. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10, your sins are all forgiven, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Can you say praise God? Number 11, Christ now dwells in your heart, John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 12, you are raised from the dead and made alive. You have been quickened. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's like a resurrection. We were dead in sins, but praise God, we have been resurrected and quickened, and we live together with Christ. 13, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, Ephesians 2, 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 14, once you were far away from God, but now you are near, Ephesians 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. 15, your behavior has been changed, Ephesians chapter 2, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You're different. All these things happen in a moment of time when you give your heart to Jesus. So that Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Dear friend, whoever you are and wherever you are, just believe in the Lord. And if that faith is genuine and you really and truly believe, Christ will come into your heart, and he will make the difference. Looks like my time is gone. Thanks for joining with me in Morning Devotions. This is John Thrasher. I hope you have a good day. Walk with God. Open your heart. Let Christ come in. God bless you.